This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. Today we are joined by Brian Bernasek, Managing Director and Head of Carlisle's Industrial and Transportation Team. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks, Chris.
Brian and his team have become experts in corporate carve-outs, where they buy a portion of a company and make it into a freestanding company. So, Brian, give us a little more of an overview of what the heck a corporate carve-out is. It sounds kind of messy.
Most carve-outs are very complicated and difficult, and they're really not for everybody, for sure. They always involve IT, treasury, legal, and oftentimes management transitions, and taking a segment out of a much larger corporate and turning it into a standalone business that you want to function for as long as you can have it out there. And that's the way we really set them up and design them as we're orchestrating that transition and separation.
Now, we've done a lot of these over the years, and your group alone has done around 10 in the past 10 years.
That's right. We've done 10 separate carve-out transactions since 2002 in our industrial and transportation effort, and they've been oftentimes very large divisions out of much larger corporates. We've invested a little over $7 billion in those deals, and the transactions have worked out really well for us.
What are a couple of examples?
So we recently acquired Axalta. It was actually DuPont's coatings business from DuPont in early 2013. That's a vehicle paint business. We also acquired from ITW their packaging division, which is Signode. They make strap and stretch consumables as well as equipment. Again, that was acquired from ITW about a year ago in May of 2014. We've acquired Hamilton Sunstrand Industrial, which is UTC's pump and compressor business. That was a 2012 deal. And then looking back even further back, we've acquired Allison Transmission from General Motors and Hertz rental car business and equipment rental business from Ford in 2005. So several over a long period of time. And as you may have noticed from the sort of names of those sellers, they're all large Fortune 50, Fortune 100 type corporates that we've acquired them from.
Why would a large company just shed part of its family?
It's usually for a number of different reasons that lead to the decision to sell. But oftentimes it's driven by the desire to focus on what that particular corporate believes is a core competency and strength. And these assets, even though they're strong, good businesses in by themselves, may not fit into that strategy.
So why is a large company going to hand over a business, be paid handsomely for it, I presume, but knowing that Carlisle thinks they're going to triple their money?
I think that they acknowledge, as we certainly do when we go into these acquisitions, that there's going to be an awful lot of work that's done from the time that we would acquire a business and take it to the place where we eventually have that kind of a return. And it may be things that corporate doesn't value as much as we would. For example, the strong free cash flow in a lot of these corporate carve-outs.
So it sounds like an allocation of resources issue where the corporate says, we only have so much time and energy. Let's focus on the things that are most important, that are going to drive value, serve our customers and our shareholders. And this other entity, even if there's potential there, it's just going to take too much darn time to really get it up to speed, and we're going to let Carlisle worry about that.
Well, I could give you an example, too, of it. You know, in the Hamilton Sunstrand assets that we acquired from UTC, it's a great set of businesses. It's pumps and compressors, great market shares, global business, good cash flow. Everybody acknowledges it's a very strong industrial business. The UTC, the parent co, made the decision that they would sell these assets to help them fund an acquisition of an aerospace business, which was the majority of their business to begin with, UTC. So they bought Goodrich another aerospace player, combined to be a much bigger aerospace player. Industrial was a small part of their overall business, and their focus was being an aerospace business.
What do you look for when you are considering doing a carve-out? What are some of the characteristics? Because it sounds like you're looking for the diamond in the rough.
Right.
And how do you know that the diamond is in there?
So there are really a couple of things that are good starting points for us on it. One is that we benefit from the fact here at Carlisle that we're focused on industries, that we have great depth on the team. So we have a good sense within particular large corporate organizations what might be good, strong businesses that don't necessarily fit with that core growth thesis that the parent co may have. The other area is we know what we want to start with, which is we'd really like to start with what is a very good business in terms of market share, in terms of growth profile, in terms of free cash flow, and then most importantly, opportunity to make it better than it is today. These are always very strong businesses to start with. That's what we like to do, is to buy good, strong businesses that through some combination of our network here, our relationships and best practices and other businesses where we're invested and partnered, that we can bring that to help make a business even better.
How did we get good at doing carve-outs?
So we did a lot of them. That's one thing. And experience with them makes a big difference. It really does. When I think back to how we approached them 10 years ago versus how we approach them today, it's a pretty dramatic difference. And it's a lot of it is the skills that we've developed and both the identification that I mentioned and assessment of a business and the kind of resources we dedicated to that, to the prospect of doing carve-out transactions here. That's a lot different. We're much more focused on how to do that, and the kind of people that are here and working on our teams have done a lot of these deals and are very comfortable with executing them. We also have a great set of relationships outside the firm that we've worked with a number of times that have made us pretty capable.
Consultants that are experts in IT or the like?
Exactly. Yeah, so we'd have consultants that are expert across the board in IT and treasury work and the separation accounting, the environmental side of a transition. And really what's a really important set of skills to have both internally and externally is on the human resources benefits part of the equation, because so much of these transitions involve people. Every one of these deals involves people and getting that right. And we try to make sure that we're pretty thoughtful about that transition, given its importance. And I think that's been really helpful for us in our interactions with the large corporates that have seen that over time we've developed that skill set and understand what's really important to large corporates for their people. Even though they're moving on to a separate business, the large corporates really view the teams in these businesses and the employees as their people, and they want to make sure that they're taken care of in a transition, and that's something we've done in a number of cases and have been thoughtful about how we've done it.
So when Carlisle comes calling, the corporate believes at least that we've done this before and that carved out entity and the people will be treated well.
They see that from the past, and it's a very helpful thing for me and for others on the team to be able to provide a reference list that says if you'd like to see how we've operated on corporate carve outs, then you should speak with these folks at GM and Ford and UTC and DuPont and ITW and et cetera. Our view is if they were to reach out to those references and people said things that were less than glowing, then we're going to have a hard time doing the next one. So it's important to us to do the right thing as we go through these, and that's an important aspect of any deal.
So as you come up with your model in terms of how you're going to create value, how much of the value comes from the carve-out itself, meaning just separating the entity from the mothership, versus kind of changing the underlying company or product? Or is it a combination?
It's a combination, but I would say far more of it is the latter, is the business as a standalone when it's freed to do what it's capable of doing.
So it's really a kind of a cause and effect then.
It is.
Setting it free enables it to achieve its potential.
I think that's right. I don't think we find that we necessarily get a lot of value out of the actual separation to say that, oh, well, we'll run IT much more efficiently than it was run before. But so much of it is that a standalone business with an executive team, an employee base that is focused solely on growing the business at hand rather than providing cash that's generated from that business up to the parent co, but not having that money reinvested in the business, you're going to have a lot better outcomes. So where we've seen the real benefits in our carve-outs has been in how we pursue growth opportunities, initiatives in the businesses, and the benefits of putting more investment in. A really key driver for us in the carve-outs is just aligning the incentives with the team around the business. The executive team is focused solely on its financial incentives and personal, very personal incentives that the business grows that they're most closely attached to, and as I mentioned previously, doesn't get lost in the overall entity.
So what is, let's delve into that a moment. So management is incentivized to do what?
Short story, to increase the value of the business and that they're running, and just that business that they're running, not something that's much larger. So it is growing the revenues in this franchise. It is growing the EBITDA, the earnings of the business. It is paying down debt that's associated with the business that we've acquired, and trying to increase the equity value of that company. And the way we've been able to do that in the vast majority of the carve-outs where we've been involved has been in attacking growth opportunities that hadn't been touched as much before. Yeah, for example, you know, at Hertz, they had a great on-airport franchise when we acquired the business, but they had very few off-airport locations. We invested an awful lot of money supporting the executive team at Hertz to expand that off-airport reach, to have well over 1,000 more off-airport locations that allowed them to grow that part of their business because they could serve a nationwide system that was attractive to the various insurance companies that might not have been otherwise. So that was a real growth initiative in that business for sure.
Now, to some extent, the conventional wisdom is that a company like Carlyle shows up with a bucket of cash, buys something, and then kicks back and things happen. That does not seem to be what's happening here.
No, that is not what's happening here. Look, these are a tremendous amount of work. They take a lot of time to identify and to position Carlyle to be in the right spot to make the acquisition come together. And then in the separation, it involves an awful lot of both hard and soft skills. There's the hard skills of assessing the business and the opportunity and the market positions and how to make sure the carve-out is affected well, that it's a smooth transition on all the metrics that we've talked about, the IT and the benefits and the treasury, and but then also on the softer side of those transitions with people and maintaining a core in that business that's strong, but it's also strategically where you want to take this business with an executive team that takes a lot of time. We're identifying growth opportunities and places where we can invest. And we're assessing those opportunities and trying to match where we're going to get the best outcomes. At Allison, we'll invest in a plant in India. We'll put $100 million into a new plant in India that they would have never contemplated under GM. And that's an assessment that we have to make the decision to invest the money, to put the money in, we do pretty quickly as well, and we try to, and we're going to be responsible about making those decisions, but they happen a whole lot faster than the corporates. So the pace changes quite a bit. I would say, you know, in these corporate carve-outs, we're trying to do three times as much in a third of the amount of time that they're used to doing. So that tempo changes, and there's a lot more work that goes into that.
Of all the carve-outs you've done, which one gives you the most personal satisfaction?
That's a tough question, but I tell you, the one that really does give me the most personal pleasure has been Allison, and the reason why is a couple reasons. One is it's a phenomenal team based in Indianapolis, and they had a great business to start with within GM, and largely that same team that was operating within GM that nobody knew anything about. Just knew it was a nice business, but it was lost in a much, much larger business. That team, we partnered with them and took what was a business we acquired for about $5.5 billion in 2007, and today is easily double that in value on the New York Stock Exchange, public company, doing fantastically well, much, much stronger business than it was when we bought it, which is really, really important to us here and to me personally, that it's a business where we invested over $400 million into the company and the 100 that I mentioned for the plant in India, but an additional $300 million on hybrid technologies, new growth initiatives. It's just a much stronger business than we bought it in 2007, and it's a great company and a great team, and it was a great investment for us here, and you know, we're awful proud of it.
We've been talking with Brian Bernasek, who is our managing director and head of Carlisle's industrial and transportation team. Thank you, Brian, for sharing insights and thoughts on the anatomy and complexities and opportunities of carve-out. It's been very interesting.
Thanks, Chris. I really enjoyed it.
And thanks to our listeners for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.